All right. As I'm processing on this pyramid concept that we talked about yesterday, and the alchemy within that, what I want you to sort of take in is that what we're really doing here when you come into a group like this, we're used to being sort of thrown into situations, but we think that we're in charge. Okay? Hey, I signed up for that course. Yeah. I know why I'm here.
You mean we are not?
This is the whole problem. And that isolating belief that you are in charge of your life is the thing that stops you from being on a spiritual path. Carolyn Mace talks about it very directly in all of her work. Until you can surrender your will to your highest purpose, to a higher guidance, you are going to struggle in the lower chakras for your life. Okay? Because when you cannot surrender your will to purpose, it becomes the servant of your whim. It becomes the servant of your ego. Okay, now your ego is really smart and has all kinds of things it wants to do with you. But they don't lead to inner peace because they are only designed around survival. They're designed to get more, to be happier, to have a better mate, to have more money, to have. And when you read Eckhart Tolle, he speaks to that in infinitum. I don't need to even go over that. You can reread any of Eckhart Tolle's work, and he goes through all the levels of insanity that the ego represents, the sort of the defended ego, the unconscious ego. So what happens when you come into a group like this is that that even though it looks like there's a very responsible group of people that show up here, and they're like, hey, we're all here, we want to learn this stuff, we're doing... It's actually a very irresponsible group because you're not used to being in a group. You're not used to knowing even what a group means. You're used to surviving, you know, I've got my thing and you got your thing and we're all together. And so, and there seems to be something that's sort of like, when you get put into a group, there can also be the kind of belief that's like, well, you know, I don't even know if these people are right for me. You know, who knows if I'll get along with these people. But the universe is not making any mistakes, ever. Ever. And if you were drawn into a group, it means that you are supposed to find out what it is you're supposed to deliver in that group. Okay? And what your purpose in any group is to remember that you, if something was drawn together universally, it has a structure. That's true. It was called for a reason. The fact that when you are a rock, and just think about when we were talking about the difference between the rock and the crystal, okay? What the rock does is light comes down, ideas come down, and what do they do with a rock? Clunk. Bounce off. Clunk. They bounce off. It doesn't go through. Because the rock is an insulated, protected, solidified, I am what I am, the Popeye. I am what I am. We all learn that. It's like, yeah, the best thing I could be is to know who I am, so I better know. But what you know yourself, the way you know yourself is through ego, through the mind, through remembering. I remember who I am. And so, as a rock, it doesn't seem to make sense to, it's like my rock comes over and I bump into Lisa and we talk about the virtual reality and it's like, when my rock bumps into another rock, it's like, a rock. But when my spirit touches another spirit and is reminded of something more within me, and I remind her of something more within her, all of a sudden, why we get together starts making a lot more sense. Okay? And within this structure is the exact same structure that's within your chakra system. And so the first thing you have to do in the first year here is you have to find out who you are, and that's why we give you the profiles. Okay, we give you something that can pull, just to make sure, this is not just your group, these are your chakras. This is what your chakras look like. Every one of them is a rock, because every one of them has five or six vows within it that said, I'm not going to be what I am, I'm going to be what I'm not. I'm going to be what they weren't. Your vows keep each of your chakras separate and rock-like, and in battle with each other. And so the first part of the program is, who are you? What if we could get more of you thinking like we all have one unified purpose here within you? And we unify your purpose around, we use the chakras to teach you all these levels of your consciousness, but they all have to have one purpose. And that purpose is you, and none of you are, you know, none of you are just charismatic leader or just a knowledgeable achiever or just, but each of you have one of those that is your primary principle of your life. That when you understand that you were born with within a archetypal principle that's far greater than anything your ego could ever do. Your opinion of it is absolute drivel. Okay, it's just like when you get that your opinion of what God's doing, of the way the universe works, it's like, Carolyn Mace says that, right? She says, you want to know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans, right? So here you have this incredible, your own incredible system that has learned that family's one thing, my emotions are something else, who I am something totally different, my relationships are, that's totally not separate, you know, and how I speak to the world, well, that's only in case of this and that, and what I think is based on all the beliefs I have, and my connection to God is, well, of course, my God's better than yours. Okay, so, and then we have our spiritual levels and all those things, and you have all this argument, and not one of you has any one of those things out of all 12 that we teach you that are anything like anybody else, and they're nothing, and they don't seem to even, they're not even congruent. So why does Carolyn Mace in the fifth chakra say, until you are congruent between the heart and the mind, your will is somebody else's? Because she's right. You are an addict. It doesn't matter whether you're an addict to a drug or a substance. You're an addict to a behavior. You're an addict to all of your vows. You're an addict to any of your wounds. I'm a wound addict. I'm always a victim. I always have to be in charge. Whatever it is, you will be addicted to a belief system that does not serve your higher purpose, because your higher purpose is what you're running from by having it. Okay? So when we give you the profile, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give you something that can begin to align your purpose within yourself. Because until you have an alignment, or at least a basic understanding of who you are and how you need to take all 12 of your voices, fifth chakra, each of those 12, and we know that they're voices because when I play the bowls, you feel them. Okay? And you get a voice. It could be a sensation, it could be a feeling, it could be an idea, it could be a vision, it could be a color. All of those things are the voices that are constantly going on inside of you. It's your fifth chakra's job to take, and they're all vibrations, it's your fifth chakra's job to integrate all of them, okay, and become congruent. That congruency around a principle is why the fifth chakra is called the purifying agent in the body. You have to purify yourself by speaking the highest truth you can at the time. That means your feelings have to have the equal voice as your thoughts. Usually your feelings are directly servant to your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But in a system that unifies, this could be you, a system that unifies with a strong lower chakra base and an open crystalline seventh chakra that allows in spiritual information, you know, draws the energy up from the earth to live your life. Okay, all of this whole premise of this, it starts with you. Okay, when you recognize that the purpose within your fifth chakra is to find a unifying principle, and this doesn't mean that you aren't going to somehow evolve, it just means you have to accept that you have a the idea of free will, okay, is what makes you happy. Okay? And you do have free will. But it's not a matter, you do not get to choose how the road splits. You get to choose which road you go on. And when you get to your moment of truth, whatever it is, and I hope that each for each of you, every Friday when you're deciding to come to class here, okay, that road, you come to the crossroads. And now, why is the devil always at the crossroads? Does anybody know why the devil's always at the crossroads?
He doesn't know what else to do.
Doesn't know what else to do. He's kind of bored. It's like, yeah, yeah, okay. He's what?
He's a man.
He's a man. Yeah. Well, it goes back to our complete misunderstanding of the devil. The devil is the light bringer. Okay? The devil's the light bringer. Okay, there was Christ and who we call the devil, Lucifer, one had to actually wake up the consciousness of humanity through giving them the option of doing bad, and one had to wake up the consciousness of humanity by giving them the option of doing good. And the problem is that at the crossroads, choosing the life you've been living is what the devil wants you to do. The road less taken, the road that looks terrifying, the road that looks like it might lead to ruin, is actually the high road. That's why the devil's there, because the devil's going to say, no, 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 what you're doing is great. You kidding me? You're going to go there? Don't know what's going to happen over there. Let's go with what you know. So not changing is the problem, and accepting the status quo. So when you signed up for this program, how many of you kept showing up and show up every weekend because I paid for it? Right? How disempowering is that? Or... I'm a person who always finishes anything I start. same people. Okay. So what I want you to recognize, and I use that coming to class as a model, because there's a part of you that does not want to come to class, and that part of you that does not want to come to class is your ego. Because every weekend we challenge it. And the ego will always choose the road of what I already know. And what you already know is unconsciousness, is the way it works, the way I know it can work. The other way, choosing to come here each weekend is can be a power of choice, or it can be an unconscious rock that just says, I always go to class. I did my homework. Or I didn't do my homework. Ha! Told them. You know, whatever your deal is, it's all about sort of like that individual, as opposed to this actual choice, which you made yesterday, by the way, by telling everybody what your vision is. Okay? The choice to bring yourself in and fearlessly go after the status quo within you is how you unify this. Because the status quo within you is divided, and you have 12, at least 12 voices. Most of you have many more. We all do. It's like that voice in your head. It's like, who the hell is that talking? And when you decide, when you choose the high road, what you're actually choosing to do is allow yourself to trust in a higher guidance. You show up and you surrender and say, I don't know what's going to happen here. Lisa and I both learned this through doing this with martial arts masters, teachers. You show up to class and you bow in. And by doing that, you surrender yourself to that person. This does not mean you have to do this for life. Every time you go to class, you have to decide, am I doing this? But if you were in class and you bowed in and the teacher goes, you know, I'd really like you to lift your leg up this way before you bring it around, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever happened to be that they were, and you were like, you know, I think you're just a dumbass. You know, I want to do it this way. Going, you know, it's like, would you ever do that if you actually wanted to learn anything? No. But your ego struggles with surrender. It struggles with trust. And part of the martial arts experience for me was I had to trust that even though I really wasn't a fighter, that something, I was going to learn something. And I learned that I wasn't a fighter. After 15 years. And what I found was that I, what I was really after, which was I learned how to move chi energy. Okay? The problem is was that the way I learned it was very irresponsible. It was designed to hurt. And that was when I quit sparring and started, and like within a year, I was in the healing school down in Connecticut. Because I wanted to find out more about that. But When I surrendered that I have no idea why I'm here, but I'm drawn to this and I am willing to surrender to the process. And the process there was to become a top national. Everybody was being trained for, you know, national fighting. And I was like, okay, I can do that. Duh. My rock was like, why not? But when the clarity came in and I started to formulate and recognize who I am as an individual, I realized I'm not a fighter at all. But that training unified a lot of fears that I had, grounded me more, focused me more, taught me alignment more, taught me how to take a punch, you know, how to get back up. All those things you need to learn are in there, but My conscious mind couldn't capture what I was actually doing. I just had to trust that there was something for me in it. Okay? And ultimately, that's what you have to do every Friday when you come into class. You need to come in. We should probably have something where you leave your shoes and you bow and you come in. You leave your ego at the door and you come in and you offer yourself up, not knowing what is possible for you. So now we have the same thing as we move into the group, and we talked about that yesterday. Without a unifying principle within yourself, you can't be a group member. That's why it's so much easier just to isolate yourself. You don't know how to be a group member until you have group membership inside yourself. All right? And so that's why we spend so much time with the chakras and the profiles. You need to get this and you need to trust something within yourself. Then you become, and here's our little group here, and picture then your neighborhood, your, you know, the American culture and the planet is a huge pyramid of energy. You, each one of these rocks coming into crystalline form, where now information comes in and it's magnified. And so what happens is you put 12 crystals together, beautiful, all shades and hues of your crystals, and each one of you in each of your chakras have different shades and clarities. And when those are clear, when you've done your alchemy and you shine light through it, it beams out of you with a very specific purpose. Every word you have has within it you. You are a purpose. You are the purpose. What you do in the world is almost irrelevant to your inner purpose. Because whatever you do in the world, when you bring that purpose to it, you impact the world that way. And that's what this work's about. That's what alchemy is. And so then that purpose integrates. If you're one of these, you have to see that's what I, that my purpose does not change in any situations. This is why, and we're going to do the Enforcer Charismatic Leader this morning because we're losing a few of you tomorrow for Mother's Day. And they are the most challenging of the people in your lives, and you really need to get them, especially if you're going to do therapy work. So we're going to go over that this morning. But especially for the Charismatic Leader Enforcer, you've got a face for everybody. Okay, we all do. And we learned that that's what we need to do because we need a face for mom. Ooh, got to do that for mom. And then we need a face for dad. And then we need a face for our brothers. And then we need a face for our classmates. And we need a face for this. And pretty soon it's like, we got a face for everybody, but we lose ourselves in the process. And the regaining the self means that you have to trust that there is something there to go after. And we're telling you, in our experience, there's something really worth going after. And when we call you out and help you look at your core, as we did yesterday in the check-ins, we're reminding you, that's it. That's your power. It doesn't look like anything out here in the world. It's a unique power that you have. Okay? So does anybody have a question? Before we go on to the chant, yes, question on this.
Just wondering, it seems like, as my memory is serving, starting from the third chakra and then the fourth and now fifth, you talked about each one of those chakras having a unifying principle, sort of bringing all the chakras together in our third in order to, you know, express ourselves, and then now the fifth with the purifying effect. Is that true, that starting at the third chakra, all the chakras kind of come together in one way and express themselves? Or is that how all the chakras work? They all bring together a principle of all the chakras and express it?
Yes. Ultimately, okay. Good thinker question. how do we go with that one? Yes. Ultimately, the action of who you are, when your third chakra is, the lower three chakras are unconscious. They're the lower self. Okay. The third chakra is the brains of the lower self. Okay. It's the action of your belief systems. Okay. And so that's why we say when the third chakra is the servant, because the lower chakras need to become the servant of purpose. Okay. The purpose is the combination of what I am as a lower chakra. The lower three chakras have your capacities, mental capacity, physical capacity, emotional capacity. It has the juice. It has your genetics. Okay. You can't not have that. All right. If you've got New England Patriots genetics, you're gonna either find a way to really make something big and strong in the world, or you're gonna do some damage in the world. Okay. All right. Your genetics are an aspect of your life purpose. You cannot get away from that. Okay. Your mental capacity is, that's all in that lower three chakras. It's what you're born with. Your higher purpose, the upper three chakras, have your desire to unify. This is a desire to isolate and survive as a human being. Okay, Homo sapien is a survival mechanism that right now is probably going to kill the planet at some point if it doesn't wake up. But it's surviving in a massive way, procreating, expanding, taking over everything. The lower three chakras are, you can see what the type of damage they do. Okay, fantastic, dynamic, incredible. Pain in the asses, okay? But powerful, you know, raw energy for survival and intelligence of survival. That's third chakra. Up in the upper three chakras, you have your unifying principles. And so from the fifth chakra up, well, of course, the fourth chakra up, but the fifth chakra up, what you're going to be doing is that you have this understanding that principles have to come together. If what I say is what I stand for, I unify around a positive principle. If what I say is what I stand against, I create a division, a separation. And so the higher chakras very clearly can say, you know, in the sixth chakra, do I see how things, sixth chakra, the knowledgeable achiever, okay, which we all have, do I see how everything is working perfectly, or do I see how everything is broken and that shouldn't be here? How do I use these conscious? This is much higher levels of consciousness. It's a much broader understanding that has to take in what you have in the lower chakras. The lower chakras do not have to, clearly, when you look at how things are operating in the world around war and all, the lower chakras do not actually have to refer to the upper chakras at all. You can isolate yourself in the survival fear mode, and no unification needs to be done. It's always about whatever I can get, whatever my party has, whatever my group has, that sort of thing. But when the upper chakras are actually allowed to awaken and not be the servant, remember we talked about the upper chakras, when you have wounds in the lower three chakras, the upper chakras are just servants to the wound. Servant to my family wound. Servant to my emotional wounds. Okay? Close down, because there is no possibility other than dealing with survival wounds. So that element, when the upper chakras are actually freed, cleared, cleansed, or what's fifth chakra is the purified from the lower chakras by speaking, by as you come up. It's love rather than vengeance. It's speaking my truth. You know, I'm really, you know, I've got to tell you, when I don't get my way, like Carolyn May says, when I don't get my way, I start maneuvering and manipulating, and I own that. You know, and I'm conscious of what I do, and I'm willing to say it, catch myself in it as a conscious act. So we become conscious of those things. When you realize your unifying principle, you have a purpose. Your upper chakras know your purpose all day long, all the time. Okay? And oftentimes, they'll know that purpose. It's like, oh, I love everybody, I do this. But the lower chakras, there's a separation. The heart's closed, and the seventh chakra's closed. And so the lower chakras are really what run your life. Because you say, oh, you ought to love people. And lower chakras say, screw you. You know what they did to me? And all the wanting to love people in your life go to, you know, when it comes actually down to a person standing in front of you, you can do it in your ashram. You can do it in your meditation. Like, I love people. All the people in the world will be happy and joyous. And then you walk out of the room and your ex-husband walks by and you go, that motherfucker! Right? Right? So where's all the spirituality? It doesn't exist except for randomly until the heart and the seventh chakra open. Okay? And then what happens is that there's the unifying principle. These upper chakras then can all become more powerful. You become the servant of your purpose rather than the servant of your will. Okay? Of your desires, which are lower chakra. So, and that's the alchemy process. That's what we're trying, and until you can do more and more of that, I don't expect you to become masters here. We're not, by any stretch of the imagination. Well, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination. But I know that this is, before I can hold a space for my friends, my teachers, my students, I have to know sort of an internal principle and I have to stand by it no matter what happens. Okay, I have to keep that in mind as I make my choices in my life. Each of you, I want that for each of you as well. Okay, and so that's really what this is about. All right, and so we're going from, and we all know the feeling of being a rock. You know, it's like, I don't know what's going on here. Okay, but you do know what's going on. And when you don't know what's going on, you need to surrender and know that it's going to be guided. Okay, rather than try to think your way through it. Yes?
And what's the difference between the fifth agreement being skeptical and still trusting? Because, like, coming in and bowing to a master martial artist is fine.
Why? Why is that fine? You should still be skeptical. To answer your question is that he's talking about free will. Okay. The tiny little bit of us that has free will. I mean, just picture that what's going on in the universe. The universe is just going along its merry way at a trillion miles an hour, and we are just renting little bits of it, and our tiny little consciousnesses create this infinitely small particle size world that we call our little worlds, and we say, well, I'm separate than the rest of it. How crazy is that? It's all happening. The universe is evolving. We're an aspect of its evolution. We are able to become conscious of that, or we can isolate away from it and think that our evolution is somehow, you know, how much money I get in the bank before I die. You know, or what I do? Do I help people? Do I do this thing? Do I have this cause? Do I have this? And we bring it down to the lower chakra element, or we can have both, which is where we are. What we are actually right now, we are half God, half animal. Okay, and we have the option of being able to experience both simultaneously. All right. We have the capacity to know that we have this higher purpose that evolves all of the, not just humanity. These pyramids, the human experience isn't just about human. It's about the whole universe. It's about the whole element of consciousness everywhere. You can't become part of consciousness without affecting consciousness. And the universe is a conscious act. So we have this huge, much, much broader experience, and then this tiny little, what am I going to have for breakfast? Okay, you know. I mean, remember the movie Aladdin. You know, and Jafar becomes the genie, and he's like, infinite power, little tiny, you know, whatever. Yeah, I can't remember what I have to, you know, that's us. He's describing that's what we are. We have this infinite power to create and grant wishes through our consciousness. And this tiny little actual ability to do it, called a human body. Owning both of those things is really difficult, but it's the unifying element. When you own all your chakras, you can accept all of those qualities within you and aren't afraid to then bring that to others to help them do the same thing. Okay? I wanted to try to give you a visual on it too, so. Okay. So we're building Legos. All right. So is everybody good on this? We're ready to chant? Okay.